The closer you get to Jesus, the sweeter it becomes. How many of us here tonight want to change our community? Say, Lord, use me to change my community, my neighborhood, my sphere of influence. Amen. You know, God can use you. It just takes one person who has faith in God, and you can make a big difference in the world. Amen? And just start where you are. Start, be a history maker. You want to be a history maker? You know, God has given us all the power and everything that we need. And he's put us in places. And all we have to do is trust him and shine. Amen? Amen? Live in such a way that people will ask you questions. You want to know how to witness? Live in such a way and let them ask you questions. You won't have to worry about how you're going to start conversations. They'll ask you questions. Amen? We serve a good God. Well, we're talking about six things that will release God's power into our community. What's one of them that we've talked about? The name of Jesus. Right, you got to have faith in the name of Jesus. Amen? We've been given the authority to use his name. What's another one? Another thing that will help us change our community. He was poured out on all flesh. The Holy Spirit outpouring. You know, outpourings leads to outbursts. Amen? And then the third thing that we're going to talk about tonight is fellowship with Jesus. We're going to have a time with Jesus tonight. And when you have a time with Jesus and you leave his presence, you will be changed. There will be something different about you, and it will be noticeable. All right? The fourth thing is corporate prayer. When they got together and prayed, things happened. Things changed. You know, when Peter was in prison, what did the church do? They got together and they prayed, and God sent an angel and delivered him from prison. Amen. God does something in a corporate atmosphere. Fifth thing is we're going to unite together for God's cause. How many know that God's got a cause? And when you get some people that you are united together, sharing that cause, they can do great things. And then the sixth thing is the fear of the Lord. When people have a fear of God, it will influence a community. Amen? Amen. I saw a program one time. I forget the name of it. But there was a city in Guatemala. It was very rough. And a person went in there and preached the gospel. And one person got saved, and a witch that kind of had a stronghold over this area. Every bar in that city became a church. And they started growing produce 10 times the size that was coming before. And they were going to the markets more frequently. They had an increase in their crops. And because they were serving the Lord now. And so let's go to Acts chapter 4. And let's look at this. Peter and John had stirred up some things. They got a guy healed on the way to church, on the way to a prayer meeting. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And, you know, there was all kinds of things. They got people's attention. And let's go down to verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Say, they had been with Jesus. So there were some things that resulted of Peter and John being with Jesus. Now, they knew that they were unlearned, untrained, uneducated. God's not against education, but he wants you to have an education with revelation. Amen. You know, Paul was educated, but then he got a revelation, and God used him mightily. Amen? You don't want to just rely on the natural side. You need to rely on the Spirit. All right, because it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of God that things happen, right? Amen. And here were these two men. Now, people saw this. They saw their boldness. Wow, well, how did they get so bold? Because they'd been with Jesus. Amen. You know, their nature was transformed. They became spokesmen for the kingdom of God because they'd been with Jesus. Okay? And beholding the man that was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. This was infallible proof that there was something different about Peter and John. Okay? And the people noticed that they had been with Jesus. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. And, you know, verse 15, when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men for that indeed a notable miracle, everybody say notable, had been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, when God does something, he does it. Amen. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth no more in this name. Oh, you can't speak in this name anymore. And I like their response. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Aren't you glad that when you've been with Jesus, they can't shut you up? Amen. Amen? Amen? So they've been with Jesus. And when we fellowship with Jesus, when we share something in common with him, when we spend time with him, when we have moments with the Lord where we talk and he talks and there's communication between us, we have fellowship with Jesus. How many know that we can fellowship with Jesus? Everything about Jesus is inviting to those who believe in him. Come unto me, all those who are heavy laden with burden, I'll give you rest. Come unto me, all those who thirst, and I will give you drink. And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Come unto me. God wants people to come unto him. God is looking for some fellowship. He's looking for some people that will get acquainted with him, that will take on his nature and his character, okay? So we share things in common with him, all right? And we have a relationship with the Lord. How many enjoy their relationship with the Lord? Amen? How many has your relationship with the Lord made the difference in your life?
Amen?
You know, and we can come before the throne of God boldly, with confidence. And we can receive grace and mercy whenever we need it. Right? And he's made it possible where we can come into his presence. All right, go with me to John chapter 17. What does this mean? John 17. Kind of funny, the Lord confirmed this already. Look at verse 21. Well, verse 20, Jesus is praying for people, right? And neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So who's he praying for? He's praying for believers. He's praying for us, right? Are you a believer? If you're a believer, shout amen. Okay, so he's praying for us, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. So how are we supposed to be one? What is our example of being one? You know, when you're fellowshipping with Christ, you're in Christ. When you're in Christ, you're in his nature, you're in his anointing, you're in his ability, you're in his power, you're in his protection, you're in his provision, you're in his friendship, okay? And that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So when we're one in Christ, when we're fellowshipping with Christ, it adds belief to the, it helps the world believe. Okay? Listen, the world needs to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the only way that Christ is going to be in us is if we're spending time with him, fellowshipping. Okay? Jesus wants us to be one like he and the Father is one. That means if you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. If you see us, you see Christ. Because he's living in us. Okay? And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. When we fellowship with the Lord, he shares his glory with us. We get some of his glory. We take away something from his presence. How many know the story of Moses on Mount Sinai? Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai. What was he doing? He was fellowshipping with the Lord. The Bible said for 40 days he didn't eat food or drink water. Why? Because when you're in the presence of the Lord, you have everything you need, want, and desire. He'll take care of you. He'll sustain you. You can read it in Exodus 34. And while he was on the mountain, did God speak to Moses? Right? He told him about the commands, and he told Moses to tell the people what God is telling him, right? How was it when Moses came down off the mountain? There was something about Moses that was different. He was lit up. Why? Well, if you spend 40 days in God's glory, you'll be lit up too. The Lord here is praying in John that the glory that the Father's given him, he's going to give to us. So when you fellowship with Jesus, you're going to start to look like Jesus. You're going to start to sound like Jesus. You're going to start to act like Jesus. You're going to walk like Jesus. You're going to walk into a place differently after you've been with Jesus. You'll be more aware of what's happening in the Spirit. You know, one time, I was spending a lot of time in prayer. And I was visiting with some friends. We were outside. There was a picnic table, and we were sitting outside. And the one lady there, there was about five of us there, she kept looking at me. And she's like, and I'm like, what? She's like, you're glowing. And I said, praise God. The glory, verse 22, I'm going to read it again. The glory which you gave me, I have given them. Did it say he's going to give it? He gave it. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as I have loved you. Hallelujah. Or as you have loved me. So how many want to attain to that kind of fellowship? You know, if God's going to share his glory with you, it's going to carry some responsibility. Amen? He wants you to use his glory to communicate his message, to build his kingdom. You know, his glory was meant to be shared. Just like Peter and John, they were sharing with that lame man what they had just received. They received power, and they were sharing that power with him. All right? And they'd just been fellowshipping with Jesus. You know, fellowship with Jesus, it'll set you apart from the mediocre mainstream. Who would have thought that God could take two fishermen and cause them to do such great things? Well, let me tell you something. If God can use two fishermen, he can use you. He wants to use you just like he used Peter and John. What have you been doing, Peter and John? How have we just been with Jesus? You know, they spent like 50 days in prayer. I mean, they were having a good time in the upper room. And they were having a greater time when God poured out his Spirit on all flesh. You know, and when you're in an atmosphere like that, you get charged. When you fellowship with Jesus, you become bold in the Lord and fearless. One thing that was different, they saw the boldness. They saw them stand up in front of the crowd. They saw them face people. The people saw this, and it was like they were commenting on what they saw. What was the difference? They'd been with Jesus. They simply were hanging out with Jesus. They were talking with Jesus. They were in the very presence of the Lord. They were worshiping God. They were just hanging out with Jesus. That's what we're doing tonight, right? We're just hanging out with Jesus. I don't know about you, but we gathered in his name, didn't we? And since we gathered in his name, he is right here in the midst. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is in the midst. To fellowship with Christ is to be united with him in purpose, have his love and mind, and esteem others better than yourself. Did Jesus put himself first or the world first? He put us first, didn't he? He came on a mission. His mission was to seek and save that which was lost. And nothing could stop him from his mission. Nothing could deter him from his mission. Nothing could turn him away from his mission. That's how we need to be. We need to find out what our mission is, and we need to be about our mission. Amen. And, you know, the enemy will try to distract you from your mission. And when we fellowship with Jesus, we become conformed to the image of him. You know, to be conformed, that means we become like him. We share in his nature. We share in his ability. We share in his benefits. To fellowship with Jesus, you become conformed to his image and his likeness. See, because Jesus wants to be the firstborn of many brethren. It's not just one person that can fellowship. We all can fellowship with Jesus. And just fellowshipping with Jesus, just spending time with him, just communicating with him, it'll transform you. Amen. And people will see a difference in you. Amen. What have you been doing? Oh, I've been hanging out with Jesus. Don't mess with me. I've been hanging out with Jesus. You know, in my hometown, there are many, 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 many places to get alcohol. And we had a friend, and he was going through a rough time. He would come to church, and then after church, he would go out to the bar. And so another friend of mine and I, sometimes we would go look for him. Sometimes the pastor would go, and one time, people were sitting in the bar, and the pastor walked in. Now, I wasn't there, but my other friend was there with him. And when he walked in the bar, it was like someone took the bar and tilted it. Everybody in the bar went to this end when the pastor walked in. And of course, you know, our mutual friend was there. But I got to, you know what? I didn't give up on him. And there were some times where he let me down. I'll tell you this. We had a church softball team. And we were having a game in a tournament, and we were one man short. Guess who the man was missing? It was my friend. and he was out drinking. And because we were a man short, we lost the game. And so at that time, he didn't have his driver's license because he had lost it. So he had to ride his bike. So I stayed out in front of his house until 2:30 in the morning, and he kept driving by on his bicycle, hoping that I would leave. And I didn't leave. And I told him, I said, look, when he finally stopped, he said, hey, what's up? I said, look, I said, friendship is a mutual thing. And I love you, but you got to do your part. And then I left. And it wasn't too long after that that his life changed. He made a decision to stop drinking, and he went on to Bible school. And he graduated. He got to see his father, who was an alcoholic, come to the Lord before he died. Amen? So fellowship with Jesus will cause you to think, act, and speak like him. And of course, people will see the difference. Fellowship with Jesus will produce more than any education or training. It will exponentiate your ability. Not that education and training is bad, amen? But you cannot replace time with Jesus. You cannot substitute fellowshipping with Jesus. When you read the Bible, you're fellowshipping with Jesus. When you're in a church service like this, you're fellowshipping with Jesus. When you're praying and worshiping God, you're fellowshipping with Jesus. And it'll make the difference in your life. Just like it made the difference with Peter and John. And he'll share his authority with you. You know, to fellowship with Jesus is to walk with him. All right, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse 2. It says, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. When you fellowship with the Lord, something happens. He begins to write his law on your heart. Listen, God engraves you with his message. And when you're intertwined with Jesus to such a degree, his message becomes your message. And your message, you become a living epistle. You become someone that's been written by the Spirit of God on your heart. He begins to write secret love letters to you, and he writes them on your heart. He engraves you with his creative ability, with the Word of God. You become a living epistle. It all has to do with fellowship with Jesus. And we fellowship with Christ through the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that came to live within us. He's in us right now. And he's ready to bring us into all truth. And the more we fellowship with Jesus, the more truth we're walking in, the more truth we're hearing, the more truth we're practicing. We fellowship with Jesus. You know, it pleases God. God was pleased with Enoch when Enoch made the decision to walk with him. What was his testimony? He pleased God. When you fellowship with Jesus, you are pleasing your Father. You are fulfilling his heart's desire. When you let Jesus infiltrate your mind, you know what happens? Your mind becomes renewed. When you let Jesus infiltrate your body, your body becomes strengthened and alive. When you let Jesus infiltrate your relationships, ooh, your relationships become good. Amen? When we let Christ permeate every part of our life, when you let Jesus permeate your pocketbook, oh. Oh, you know, fellowship with Jesus is sharing everything. You become an instrument of blessing. Isn't that what happened to Abraham? God gave Abraham, he said, why don't you leave? He said, I'm going to make you a great nation. Isn't that awesome how God can take one man and make a nation from him? Nations. Apparently, Abraham discovered a way to fellowship with the Lord. And in fellowshipping with the Lord, everywhere Abraham would go, he would set up an altar. He would worship God. And all the while, he was walking on the land that God wants us to have. And he was fellowshipping everywhere he went. He was fellowshipping with Jesus. And he got so entwined in Jesus' life that God made him a blessing. And people who got around Abraham, they were blessed. Lot was blessed just by being Abraham's nephew and being around him. Abraham increased, Lot increased. And when your life is intertwined with Jesus, he will just use you to bless people, and you will be a blessing everywhere you go. He wasn't Abraham blessed to what? Be a blessing. Well, yes, we are blessed, but it's our fellowship with him that makes us a blessing. It's how entwined we are with him. Okay, verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ. You know, fellowship with Christ, it's all about trust. You can enter darkness not knowing where you're going because you're trusting him. Because when you're entwined with him, there is no fear. What happens when perfect love comes into you? It casts out all fear. So if you want to walk fearlessly on this earth, you better fellowship with Jesus. If you want to be a bold spokesperson for the Lord, you better fellowship with Jesus. Those who fellowship with Jesus change the world. What did God do with the 11 guys that stuck with him? God used Jesus and 11 guys to turn the world upside down. For 3.5 years, they fellowshiped with Jesus. They heard his teaching. They saw him do the work. And then he commissioned them to do what he did. Amen. And they went out and they had the same results as he did. Why? Because they were fellowshipping with Jesus. They slept where he slept. They walked where he walked. They ate where he ate. Their lives were entwined. See, your life wants to be like a gear. In order for anything that is gear-driven, the gears have to intertwine. One gear has to hit the space of another gear so that they can synchronize. Your life needs to be synchronized with Christ. So you can be like a watch. You can be the Lord's wristwatch. And you're so entwined together. You're so synchronized together. You're walking in such agreement that when you go places, miracles happen. When you go places, people come to Jesus. When you go places, demons cry out, I know who you are. You bet you know who you are. Shut up and come out. And they have to do it. Because your life is so entwined with Jesus. And it comes through fellowshipping with him. And when those who fellowship with Jesus change their communities. Peter and John brought change to their community because of one thing. They had been with Jesus. They were fellowshipping with Jesus. Okay? Look at verse 16. He's talking about a veil. When people shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken. Those who don't fellowship with Christ, it's like they have a veil over them. They can't see where they're going. They don't know what's happening. They don't have revelation. Amen? And do you realize that Jesus built his kingdom on revelation? Oh, who do people say that I am? Peter said, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven, and upon this rock, the rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So Jesus builds his church on revelation of who he is. And when, see, the Pharisees, they weren't fellowshipping with Jesus, they were fellowshipping with laws. And when the Messiah was right in front of them, when they let the man down through the roof, and Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, and all the Pharisees said, oh, who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sin. Yeah. You mean they didn't have a clue that he was God. Why? Because they had this veil over them. See, notice, look, you got to look at verses 8 through 10. Well, let's go to verse 7. I got to tell you this. This is good news. He said, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Listen, the ministry that Moses experienced was glorious, but we have the Holy Spirit, and it's more glorious. Our glory has been multiplied exponentially. Verse 9, for the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. The glory that Moses had on the mountain can't compare to the glory that we have when we fellowship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Moses did not have the Spirit in him like you and I do. We have an advantage. So, when Moses came down from the mountain after being in the presence of the Lord, people couldn't handle it. They said, Moses, cover your face. Moses was the only one that was enjoying the glory of God. It's like he went up into heaven's suntan room and he came down with the bronze glow on him. And if you put oil on him, he would glisten in the light. But I want you to notice that the presence of the Lord brought a visible change to Moses just by spending 40 days in his presence. All right? But verse 14, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord. Notice, if people turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Because people who turn to the Lord want to fellowship with him. They want to be part of his family. They want his life intertwined with their life. So if someone's got a veil over them, they've simply got to turn to the Lord. They got to repent. And that veil will be taken away. After all, it's the devil who blinds the minds of who? Unbelievers. He blinds the minds of them that believe not. He's the god of this world or this world system. Okay? So, now the verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, fellowship with Jesus produces freedom and liberty. It turns your stale bread into fresh bread. It turns our stinkiness into sweetness. Because fellowship with Jesus changes a person. It can change circumstances. Do you think Mary was changed when she put the housework aside and she just decided to sit in Jesus' feet? Well, that's fellowshipping with Jesus. What did Jesus say? She chose the better part. How about the lady that came to Jesus at the Pharisee's house and began to cry and clean his feet with her tears? Jesus told the Pharisee, he said, those that have been forgiven much love much. When you've been forgiven much, you love much. And when you love much, you fellowship with Jesus. Nothing can stop you from fellowshipping with Jesus. And that'll make the difference in your life. That'll make the difference in your community. Go with me to Luke 24. Luke 24. This is awesome. Luke 24, verse 15. This is on the road to Emmaus. And they were talking together, and verse 15 says, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said, what manner of communications are these that you have one another as you walk and are sad? And one of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which are come to pass there in those days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And let's see here. I want to get to the part where their heart burned within them. Yeah. And they rose up to the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found that... 32, yeah. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scriptures? The closer you get to Jesus, the warmer his presence will make you. Ooh, isn't that good? You need to turn up the heat on your life? Just move a little bit closer. And he'll begin to warm you. Come on, we got to warm up to Jesus. He is our comforter, right? Comforter will keep you warm on a cold day. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Look at this one. 1 Corinthians 1:9. I want you to see this. My pages won't stick together. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you know that fellowshipping with Jesus is a calling? It is an open invitation to anybody who will come. Sometimes, how many know that there are things in life that can try to mess with your fellowship with Jesus? You go to fellowship with Jesus and all of a sudden your stomach starts talking to you. And you go to fellowship with Jesus and the phone starts to ring. Well, I better get it. No. You got a fellowship with Jesus. It could mean the difference between life or death. We got a fellowship with Jesus. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John. Also known as Little John. But has nothing to do with Robin Hood. 1 John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Does that sound to you like they've been fellowshipping with the Lord? I've seen it, I've heard it, my hands have touched it. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Notice, when you fellowship with Jesus, there's going to be some declaration happening. You can't fellowship with Jesus and be silent. No matter how hard you try, it's going to burn with it. It's going to be like Old Faithful. Pew! It's going to shoot up eventually. You know, when laughter hits me, it's like a Roman candle been lit in my belly. It's going, pew, pew. That's exactly how it feels like. We declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. Aren't you glad? Fellowship is something to be shared. Listen, after you've been fellowshipping with God, you want to tell people how good it was to fellowship with God, and you want to say, come and fellowship with me. Some of the greatest prayer times I had early on in my Christian life is when believers, we'd get together and we would do nothing but pray in tongues for an hour. Amen. And after we pray, you know, we'd just be holding hands, and all of a sudden it would hit one person and it'd be like a chain reaction. It would go around the circle, you know, just praying in tongues for an hour, and all of a sudden it you know, the Holy Ghost would come upon one person, then on the next person, then we'd all be laying on the floor. Because that's what fellowship will do. Did you know that fellowship with Jesus releases the power of God? Fellowship with Jesus will enable you to say, rise up and walk. If they hadn't fellowship with Jesus, they'd have no power. But when you fellowship with Jesus, you get powered up. Okay? And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. When you fellowship with Jesus Christ, you have overflowing joy. He wants your joy to be empty. He wants your joy to be full. And that comes from fellowship. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Oh, I have fellowship with Jesus. You can't say you have fellowship with Jesus and walk in darkness. If that's occurring, you lie. There's no fellowship going on. Because light doesn't fellowship with darkness. Because when the light comes on, darkness runs and hides. Try it. Why don't you see if you can take a bottle, fill it with oil and water, and see if those two will mix. Oil will fight water tooth and nail, and water will fight oil tooth. They don't mix. They can't. But fellowship. If we say we have fellowship with him, notice they're saying it. But then they're walking in darkness, so then what they're saying about fellowship is not true. Okay, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. When you're fellowshipping with God, you will ultimately fellowship with people. You will want to be around God's people. You will want to gather when they gather. You will want to be with them. When there's a spiritual function, you want to be a part of it, because fellowship with him produces fellowship here. Our vertical fellowship and our horizontal fellowship. We need both. When our vertical is right, then our horizontal will be right. If our vertical is wrong, then our horizontal will be wrong. Did you know that if you're not fellowshipping with God, you certainly don't want to be around God's people? I know. I was backslidden once. And there was this guy. I was a cook in a truck stop. And I was backslidden. And this guy would come in smiling, and all he did was talk about Jesus, and it got under my skin. He got me aggravated. I'm backslidden, and he's talking about Jesus. It bugged me. But you know what? I'm so glad that he did, because if he didn't, I might have not given my heart back to the Lord. It was because of him coming into where I work, talking with people and smiling, talking about Jesus. And you know, when you're back sitting, you don't want to see people smile. Like, stop smiling. Let me enjoy my misery. Misery loves company. But he kept coming in. He kept coming in. Eventually, I went with him to a tent meeting, and I rededicated my life to the Lord. I'm so glad I did. And him and I became best friends and witnessing buddies. Notice, when we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? Did you know that fellowship with Jesus is a sin preventative? The more you fellowship with Jesus, the less you sin. If you're sinning a lot, then you're not fellowshipping with Jesus, or you're fellowshipping with the wrong people. But Peter and John, they're just going to a prayer meeting. They see this guy at the gate who's been lame from his birth. They had been fellowshipping with Jesus. God does a notable miracle. And what did the people know? The people knew that they'd been with Jesus. See, when you fellowship with Jesus, you can't hide it. You can't cover it up, because you're like a carbonated beverage. And when you fellowship with Jesus, you get shook up. And when a carbonated beverage gets shook up, you see bubbles. Or when you try to open it, it spews everywhere. See, because a shook up carbonated beverage has boldness. Because when you take the lid off it, it will unleash what's on the inside. And it will affect everyone in its vicinity. And that's how we need to be. We need to be shook up carbonated beverages who've been fellowshipping with Jesus. Let the hands of Jesus shake you up. That's why when some people get prayed for, they shake. God's just shaking and baking them, you know? Sometimes we need that. You know, maybe God was touching elbows when he's saying, I'm all shook up. But you know what we need to do tonight? We need to fellowship with Jesus. We need to come into his presence. We need to give him our best praise and our best worship. And we need to do that right now. Amen? Because if you want to be changed, then fellowship will change you. And people, you'll leave here and people will say, "Woo, you must have been with Jesus." That's right. I've been with Jesus. So can we all stand up? If you physically can't stand up, then sit down. Amen? But if you physically can stand up, then stand up. And let's get into the Lord's presence for just a moment. Let's fellowship with Jesus. And there should be no shame in expressing your praise to God. You should be free to lift up your hands, open your mouth wide. You should not be silent, but you should express your praise to Jesus, because you're so in love with him and you love fellowshipping with him. You're not embarrassed to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. We do not hide the fact that we are believers in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we come into your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that there is joy in your presence. And that there are pleasures at your right hand. So we come, Father, we come to you, Lord, because we love you. We come into your presence. Oh, rabasondo raboraka siti ala mama. Ilamaroto kosanda labaka sando loboraka sanda. Oh, we're coming to fellowship with you, Lord. Lord, we just want to be with you because we love you. We honor you, Lord. Oh, we give you the highest praise, O Lord God. Oh, rabasondo raboraka siti ala mama. Oh, Lord, we love your word. We love your name. Lord, I love you with all my heart. You've done everything for me. And I love you, Lord. I pledge my allegiance to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I give you thanks and praise. Oh, Ramasi. Alamaroni niana. Oh, Riananananiana la mama. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We lift up your holy name. Oh, blessed be your name, O Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Lord. Oh, we come into your presence, your wonderful, awesome presence, Lord. We praise your name. Oh, we love you, Lord. We lift up our voice to you. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Raniniana. Oh, Ramamaniniana. Oh, Ramaniniana, la mama mo. Oh, Raniniana. Lord, Ramaninini. Oh, Ramamana, siti ala mama. Oh, Ramamama. Oh, for those of you that are weak, your strength. You're getting strengthened as you fellowship with the Lord. Strength is coming to you. Strength is being imparted to you. Strength is you're being infused with his strength. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. His presence is a safe place. His presence is a shelter. His presence is light. His presence is illuminating. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And if for any reason, there's any awkwardness in coming into his presence, I want you to know that God forgives, God loves. If you confess things that are not right between you and God, he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness and he will forgive you. So in one moment you can change from being awkward into his presence to being welcome in his presence, to being at peace in his presence. Oh, we've got to learn how to dwell in his presence, to fellowship with him, to be in him and for him to be in us. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, Ramasondoroboraka Sandai. This is just his pure presence. You and the Lord are having a meeting right now. Don't worry about who's around you. Don't worry about who's in front of you or behind you. It is just you and the Lord right now. Look into his face. Look on his hands. See his nail-scarred hands. See the love that he has in his eyes as he looks upon you. See the compassion that he has for you. You are accepted in the beloved. He accepts you. You're accepted. He doesn't reject you. If you come to him, he will welcome you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Doesn't that feel good? Stephen, would you mind if I prayed for you? Father, I thank you for this young man named Stephen. You know, your name is associated with someone who loved God's presence so much so that He died for Jesus. And Father, I pray over this young man right now. And I thank you, Lord, that he has a heart after you. And Father, I just ask you right now to fill him with your glory and your goodness. And Lord, I thank you for unfolding the great plans that you have for Stephen. Lord, for stirring up the gifts that you've given him, that you've placed within him, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you right now that you cover him in light. Lord, touch, let your light just flood every area of his heart in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, that you would use Stephen mightily to reach other young people. Lord, that you would cause, you would work through him mightily in such a way, Father, that you would cause him to bring people to Christ in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray a fresh anointing upon Stephen, one of a warrior. Lord, make him into a warrior for the Lord right now in the name of Jesus. Father, let a new and fresh anointing come upon him that would be like fire shut up in his bones. In the name of Jesus. Father, let tonight make him different in the name of Jesus. Transform him right now by the power of the Holy Ghost and just fill him, Father, with the fire of God right now. Lord, let it burn in him. Let it burn in him in the name of Jesus. I break every curse and I give you thanks and praise. Lord, that he is free to discover what he's been called to do. Lord, he hears your voice and he has the strength and the courage to do what you say in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that he will not turn to the right. He will not turn to the left, but he will look up because that's where his redemption draws nigh. So, Father, tonight, just touch him with your mighty power. Shower your love upon him and let your fire burn within him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boldness is coming to some of you. You're going to leave here tonight and you're going to be confrontive. You're going to confront evil. You're going to confront lies. You're going to confront deception. And God is going to use you as a tool to straighten things out, to make things clear. He's going to use you to clear out the enemy of his camp in the name of Jesus. You got to spend enough time with Jesus to create a memory. Sometimes you got to spend some time. And let me tell you something. Once you get into his presence, you won't be concerned about time. Amen. You get out of his presence, you'll be like, I was there for how long? Amen. I'm telling you. Tomorrow, before you go to school and before you go to work, take some time and get into his presence. You got people that you have problems with at work, get into his presence and take his presence with you wherever you go. Amen. Start your day in his presence. I'm looking forward. And we're going to hear some testimonies about how the presence of the Lord just changed situations. Fellowship with Jesus. I just heard a report tonight from Miss Wanda. There was a plot to hurt other students at a high school in Lebanon. And they had maps, and the plot was discovered. So it didn't come to pass. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And they found the people with military weapons. But you know what? Miss Wanda said she was praying and she was praying over schools. And I believe that God heard her prayer and he intervened. Amen?
Amen.
You know, the devil is trying to take over our schools. But next week, we're going to learn about some corporate prayer. And we're going to do some corporate praying next week. So you don't want to miss next week because we're going to pray more and I'm going to preach less. Amen? And we're going to see God's presence come in such a way. So if you're a person that God can trust and rely on to be a community changer, I want you to give God the biggest shout that you can have. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And you're going to use the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're going to use the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You're going to fellowship with Jesus. And when you need reinforcements, you're going to get together for corporate prayer.
Amen.
You're going to get with people who know how to bring heaven down.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not talking about some wimpy prayer. I'm talking about prayer that releases God's power in a place.
Amen.
You know, when they got together in Acts, God came down and shook the building. I've never been in a place yet where the building was shooken, but hey, it's possible. And, you know, after this series, we can't just come in here and listen to this message and not do anything. I can equip you, but then you got to do it. You got to take this to wherever your community is. And these principles will work just like it worked in Acts. Same God, same Holy Ghost, same Word. Amen? We got the same faith as they do. And you just be used by God, and as opportunities arise, you release this power wherever you are. I'll give you a testimony, then I'm done. Sunday morning, there was a propane truck that pulled into the parking lot. And I went out and talked to the guy because I didn't know why there was a propane truck in the parking lot because we don't have propane. And when I walked up to the guy, he was letting the air out of his brakes because his air brakes, he didn't have any brakes. And so I said, would you mind if I pray for you? Now, this was a Christian man. He goes to church. He was from Mifflin. And he was just coming into Palmyra to help the company make the deliveries. He's not familiar with this area. And I said, would you mind if I prayed? I prayed that truck would work. And he goes, that was a good prayer. When we were finished, when we were done, he fired up his truck and he was gone. So his brakes must have been working. Amen? And but I just took that opportunity to pray with him. And God did the rest. That's all you need to do.
Amen.
So you guys are warriors.
Yeah.
You're not bystanders. You are equipped with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you need to go forth and yield that sword. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, you go after being in the presence of the Lord, you ought to be supercharged.